Folks, just a little bit of housekeeping before we start the podcast. This is a conversation I had with Niall Sargent about the great investigative work that they continue to do in Noteworthy. This time around, I'm going to say it, Niall wasn't happy with me, around chicken shit and how some of the potential frauds that are taking place with that and the dangers that that poses to our lived environments. People have asked me actually recently to explain why podcasts on the feed come out all over the place. Well, it's really quite straightforward. We record in sequence, but we publish as and when we can. So, you know, some podcasts are a little bit more time sensitive. For example, if you've someone who's about to be made homeless, you don't sit on it, you put it out immediately. And if you have something that's not as time sensitive, we may hold it back a few days. But we do try to get everything out. Listen, the other thing is I have to ask you to do is go to patreon.com/tortoiseshack and please support this work. It's a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of research, a lot of producing goes into the Tortoise Shack, and it doesn't have any other income stream bar your support. So we effectively rely on you. I rely on you. It's one more time, patreon.com/tortoiseshack, and enjoy this podcast. It is a very unusual but really important deep dive into a subject that, you know, you wouldn't think it has the implications that it does. Thanks for the support. Hello and welcome to Echo Chamber Podcast. My name is Tony Groves and we're back already as promised. I think I referenced this podcast yesterday evening. We've tried to make this work a couple of times, but we've had some scheduling snafus. But I'm delighted to be rejoined on the podcast by investigative reporter and regular enough on the pod. We haven't had you on in a while, Niall. Niall Sargent, how are you keeping?
I'm good, Tony. Thanks for having me back on. Sorry for the delays due to some construction work close by.
Listen, there's nothing that we make do as we can, and it's good to see your smiling face again. Before we start, I just want to say, Maria Delaney got made editor as well. So Maria would be well known on the Tortoise Shack as well. So again, people tend to tune out at the end of these podcasts. If you like the work that the guys do, please support it, right? Do it. Like, you can hit pause now because the link will be in the bio to Niall's article and you can crowdfund it. I know you're actually crowdfunding something at the moment on places for people to live with disabilities. So it's important work that you're actually cataloging and doing. Please do consider, if you want to just look at the pod, because I know you're all going to be gone if I plug it at the end. Maybe consider supporting the work now. Not at all, Niall. Niall, we're here to talk about literally chicken shit. Okay. Do you want to give listeners an idea of your of the investigation that you've done with two other organizations, Detail in the North and The Guardian in the wider UK? Can you tell me what the investigation is and what you've uncovered?
Yeah, so essentially we were looking at the wider poultry industry on the island of Ireland, and one particular strand we were looking at is the cross-border trade in poultry poop, or, you know, the word you used, I'll leave you this, but poop or litter, manure, that's kind of as it's described.
We can get away with saying shit. You're okay.
But essentially while we were looking at that, to cut to the chase, and I'll give a bit of an explanatory afterwards, we found that the Agri Advisory or Agri Research Body in the Republic of Ireland, Chagas, last year carried out an investigation and raised serious concerns about the authenticity of some files used in poultry farm applications, planning applications in the north. So the background to this is essentially the poultry industry in the border region has grown exponentially in the last 20 years. In Northern Ireland, I think it's almost doubled to like 24.5 million birds at any one time now, doubled in the last 20 years almost. So numbers are very large. Of course, more farms, more jobs, more money for the rural economy. There's 3,500 jobs in the border region alone. However, with more birds, you also get the big pile of problem from the sheer amount of poop or litter that is produced, and with them, the ammonia emissions that come from it, which have human health and environmental impacts. And we know in the north in particular, because they have much greater monitoring of ammonia on protected areas, ammonia is having a big impact on various protected nature areas, EU protected nature areas in the country. So essentially, there's such a major problem with the ammonia emissions in the north now, and so much litter being produced. In order for a new farm to get planning permission, or a current farm to get planning permission to expand, the applicant will have to provide evidence that the poultry manure is going to be exported from that farm. And farms in the Republic of Ireland have been found as a key market for that manure because it can be land spread on agricultural land as a natural fertilizer. It can be mixed in for composting for the mushroom industry. And I think alone documented data from the Department of Agriculture shows 64,000 tons came across the border last year alone. So in order, this is the really important part, in order to prove that element to essentially get your planning permission, you have to show that you have a contract in place with the farmer in the south who will say, I can take X tons of poultry per year to spread on my land. But you also need a letter from an official state body in Ireland to say that this is a bona fide farmer and they can take all this litter without having an impact on their own nutrient level on their farm. In the majority of cases, this is coming from Chagas. However, we found out through completely looking at a different area, we were looking at a different complaint that was given to Chagas about potential cross-border environmental impact of this litter and the level or lack of environmental assessments being carried out. Someone complained to Chagas about this, gave them a list of 38 cases that they found with Chagas letters attached to the planning applications and asked them to look at this. Chagas, you know, said that that issue was a non-issue, that the complaint the person raised, but they did go and look at those 38 planning applications. And through Freedom of Information, we asked for further documentation and we got an internal Chagas investigative report that concluded that there were suspected falsification of records to support planning applications in 15 of those cases. And in 8 of the cases, the suspected amended documents, which would be official Chagas documents, but with the information changed. They didn't explain to us how exactly it was amended. So you're talking 60% of the letters that they are planning cases they examined, they found suspected, falsified or altered letters. So they described it as a matter of significant concern. They said it was clear, this is a quote, that there exists a significant level of falsification and alteration without consent of documents for planning applications. And yeah, from there, it's kind of ballooned into this investigation in the north, which I can go into detail now, or if you want to
please ask. I don't want to stop because we always tend to have this part of the conversation when Niall arrives on that the first it's fact heavy at the beginning, folks, and bear with it because it's really important because that's the level of detail that goes into these reports. It's proper investigative journalism. So please continue, Niall. Yeah,
I will try not to bore everyone, but this is the this is the sexier or more interesting part, I suppose, for someone who. So that concern was raised by Chagas in March 2021. They did their investigative report. They then contacted An Garda Síochána very quickly to discuss it. The guards told us they won't discuss, you know, any information in relation to any potential case or file that was opened. We're not sure exactly to the level it progressed with them. The Chagas also sent a letter to the Department of Agriculture in the north, which is known as DIRA. DIRA alerted, in turn, the Department of Infrastructure to look into it as well. And they wrote to councils advising them to, quote, consider the impact of potential false Chagas information in respect of planning decisions granted. DIRA also asked the Department of Finance to look into, quote, potential fraud, and they liaised with the PSNI on that. And DIRA confirmed to us just this week that before we published that its wider investigation is still ongoing and focused on those Chagas letters, and that based on what their findings are from the initial investigation, it may lead to a wider investigation. And that's pretty important because that's 38 cases that were examined by Chagas, but we went through hundreds of planning applications for our sins, and we found over 40 additional planning cases since 2015 for poultry farms where Chagas letters and or litter export letters were included with the application that have not been examined. Of course, there's nothing whatsoever to say that, you know, there could be anything wrong with those. There's no suspicions about that, but it just raises the question, should they be doing a wider investigation? And as they said, that may happen depending on their findings from the initial. Still ongoing.
Can I ask you to come into the realms of speculation with me? Why would you want to do this now?
I wish I could join you there, but I cannot, Tony. Look, we the main reason why poultry litter is going across the border is because of the sheer volumes that are there. I mean, this was in 2012, the scientific advisor in the Northern Department of Agriculture stood up before Agriculture Committee in Stormont and said that this poultry litter was the key problem of the industry, that they only had an outlet in the country for a certain percentage. I think they said there was 280 odd tons produced at the time, and they could only handle about 150, I think, thousand. So they need an outlet for it. And I think the fact that the farms need, obviously, these letters for planning permission, there is another issue in terms of, in the Republic, we have our own problems with litter, with ammonia emissions from manure that has been land spread or otherwise. So there is more farmland here in the south for that, tillage land in particular, but we do have our own issues here. So I can't speculate as to
So you've just outlined what it in practice should be used for. Like, you know, it's used as fertilizer, yeah. It's used in land spread, it's used in these situations. But the environmental damage that it's causing, how aware of those issues are we, and how much of it, you know, is it potentially causing a danger if there's more of it than we anticipate?
Yes. No, there is a really good question, because there are definitely environmental impacts from ammonia emissions. And it's a nice segue to say we have a second article coming out tomorrow, which is focused on the impact on protected nature areas. So there is documented impact, because ammonia essentially, I'm not a scientist, I'm not going to go into the nitty-gritty of it myself, but essentially ammonia is taken up into the atmosphere and rained back down, and it's very nutrient dense. It provides great nutrients, so it's a great fertilizer. So if it goes on cropland, it's not, or grassland, it's not such a big issue. However, when it impacts on small water streams or lakes or bogs or heaths, then it can be a big problem, because those habitats rely on a low nutrient level. So if you introduce a high nutrient chemical or environment, that will have a significant impact. And we know, it's very well documented in the north, that ammonia is having a significant impact on various protected areas, bogs in particular, and peatlands. Obviously, poultry farming is only one factor. There's, you know, it's ammonia from all agriculture. So cattle is probably is a bigger impact. But we also know from an EPA report that was released to us from last year, they did an examination of three protected areas in the border region, and they found that the impact of poultry farms from Cavan and Monaghan in particular were having the biggest ammonia impact on two of the three protected areas, and the second biggest impact on the other one after pig farming. So when they're close to these protected areas and they're in such a concentration, they're having a big impact. So you're talking, in terms of the actual impact, you're talking about, you know, getting algae slime and things like that growing on the trees, damaging and killing the trees, killing off the heat, killing off the sphagnum moss. And when the vegetation starts to die off, obviously then the biodiversity, the entire
ecosystem around it breaks down.
You have that chain reaction of whatever.
And again, you've said Cavan Monaghan, and we know from experience that is very high in terms of chicken farming and indeed mushroom farming, which is obviously related to it. You know, the use of that you'd like to think it was a circular economy, but we're at a stage here now where we just have such a vast number of chickens themselves
You're talking about over 50% of all the poultry in the Republic of Ireland is in Monaghan. Over 10, I think they say at any one time from the survey, latest survey, it's about, I think, 10 and a half million. And that was maybe 6 or 7 years ago, it was about 6.5 million. So like there is, and we've looked at the planning application, there is a spike in line with state agri expansion policy. There is a growth increase in the industry. While at the same time, we have, you know, we got hundreds of pages of emails and internal records released to us from Monaghan County Council, and their environmental team have shown very strong concern about where the poultry litter is ending up and the potential impact on protected areas particularly watercourses in the county. They have big concerns there. So at the same time, you're obviously, you know, the planning side of the council giving lots of planning permissions out, and the environmental team having their concerns. Of course, Monaghan County Council have told us that, you know, they do carry out their proper assessments, cumulative impact assessments, to make sure of the impacts. But I mean, the data kind of speaks for itself. There has been a significant uptick. And at the same time, the other element to it is we don't have fantastic monitoring in the Republic of Ireland?
We've spoken about this across the board. You've covered this in great detail when you talked about salmon farms and how few inspections actually occur relative to what the headline figure they I could come into you now with a plan, say I'm going to visit 100 places and we could announce it tomorrow, but if I visit 4 or 5 it doesn't really matter,
So it's a combination of things. So that we don't have necessarily a national monitoring system for ammonia on our protected areas. So we know very little apart from that EPA study that was very in-depth and showed directly the impact that it's having. And in fairness, they've created new guidelines, which is very strongly limiting or potentially limiting the expansion of farms in Monaghan and Cavan area, unless they can show there won't be an ammonia impact, which I think would be very difficult to prove. But on the other side of it, then, like you said, in terms of the actual inspections, we asked Cavan and Monaghan for the rate of inspection of poultry farms between 2017 and 2021. Cavan carried out two inspections of farms, and they said that's linked directly to complaints received. Monaghan carried out 95 between 2016 and 2019, but only 5 since 2019. And the reason they carried out, they told us, many between that rate between 2016 and 19 is because they had an inspection program running that was, I think, from my understanding, initiated by the environmental team, but that has since stopped. So that's why there's in this drop off. Now we asked them if they think it's enough to make sure, all planning conditions are being met, but they wouldn't comment on that element. So, I mean, there is this whole thing, like I said, there is the regulations in place. We have great rules. The guidelines are there for like the poultry manure handling, the ammonia side of things, but the documents released to us by the councils with the most farms and by LawPro, which is this body which essentially examines, an agency which examines impact on watercourses and across every county, has raised significant concerns that there isn't a very strong monitoring enforcement regime for the movement and spreading of poultry litter to know exactly where it goes from source to the end. So there's an issue. And just on that, we didn't discover any cases of, unlicensed or illegal dumping of poultry litter in the Republic of Ireland. But the Department of Agriculture in the North released photographic evidence of 11 cases of either unauthorized storage or dumping on agricultural land of very large, some small, but some very large mounds of poultry litter. I have to say there is absolutely nothing. We have no evidence to show that there is any connection with the Chagas cases that are being examined, but it does show that there are issues around where the poultry litter can end up.
And just in terms of coming back to the Chagas element of it, have they decided, they've obviously looked into this, they've raised the matter further. Have they taken steps, do you believe, to prevent this happening going forward from their perspective?
So what's happening now, and in fairness to Chagas, they acted very immediately. This issue was raised by that member of the public to them in January and February 2021. And by March, they had carried out their pretty in-depth internal investigation and then passed on the information to the guards and also to the authorities in the north. And they very clearly said to the authorities in the north that if you get any more Chagas letters with planning applications, please come back to us to verify the authenticity. And basically now DIRA have told us they have a new guidelines or system in place that they are more scrutiny on any letters from Chagas they will examine. And the councils have told us as well, several of them, that they are looking at it much more closely and going back to Chagas now to verify the authenticity of letters if they receive any. And the other point on that is, and this is pretty par for the course, I think, in the planning system, and because of, resource issues, that when they receive the letters, not everything is picked true and verified like that. Two councils told us their guidelines or protocol before was that they would take the documents, one of them said, at face value. So now they're going back to ask Chagas, which is a great step, but you would hope that in a very well-functioning planning system, all the records will be checked thoroughly, because you're talking about a significant amount of poultry litter that may potentially be unaccounted for on the island.
Can I broaden this, and you can again feel free to tell me to get lost. But we keep seeing these cases. As again, I reference you've covered the salmon farming. We've seen the issues of how we're the environmental pressures being put on by agriculture. We know there's infighting at the moment within government between Charlie McConnellogue and Eamon Ryan, and where we're going in terms of emissions. And we're facing food insecurity. The chicken farming itself. Do you see this as, and I know you've a long history in looking at environmental issues. How much is it dependent on global supply chains, and how vulnerable is it to the current situation that we're facing?
The industry itself would potentially, I haven't looked a huge amount into the economic side in terms of the global side, but it would be impacted probably by the feed side of things. So obviously the with that number of chicken you have, if you're talking about 24.5 million in the north at any one time, and Monaghan alone, you're talking about 10.5 million now. So there's a lot of feed for those animals. Some of it, you know, domestic, but it is also been.
There's no way we're feeding like 30 million chickens from. Yeah.
It's also been imported, like any, like in the dairy and beef industry as well. There is a percentage of it which has obviously been imported, soy products and things like that from abroad. So it will be impacted from that. Ireland, of course, we're a very strong export market. A lot of, but the majority, I think, of the poultry will be used in the domestic, because we actually, despite the sheer quantities we produce, we clearly very much like chicken in Ireland, because we're not even reaching the amount we need for our domestic consumption. So we're also importing. So it's not so much touched by that, but obviously Brexit has had an impact. Disease outbreak, avian flu has had a big impact last year, combined with COVID and Brexit issues. It has had an impact. The industry has received support on those issues. So yeah, like it like any industry, it does struggle, like the mushroom industry as well, like the pig industry. They've had a lot of financial issues lately, but they do receive subsidies and supports to some extent from the government in recent times. I'd say the industry would argue probably not enough. But on the wider scale of things, there are very clear agri expansion or agri policies from Stormont and from the Oireachtas from the government here that are very clear that the industry is going to continue to expand. I mean, they've been very strongly pushing for an expansion and supporting the industry because of the role they have in the rural economy and the jobs they provide. So there has been indirect and direct, you know, support for the industry over a significant period of time that you have to say has played a role in the expansion of the industry. You know, the green light is there, and maybe the green light was there before we had enough resources in place for the monitoring or enforcement side of the regime.
How very Irish of us, Niall.
It's pretty Irish. No, yeah. That's a common theme. Like you said, I've looked at, you know, salmon farming. I've looked at the mushroom industry as well. Just in general, environmental issues as well for, say, the protected areas. We are great at having rules in place, but actually having the resources or manpower on the ground to ensure that they're respected and implemented correctly is a bit more difficult. I mean, you just have to look at, say, for example, the resourcing in the MPWS, which is now only coming back. It's great that it's getting more funding, but it's only coming back to pre-recession funding. And even then, it wasn't enough to keep an eye on all our protected areas, biodiversity, etc. So yeah, good on paper, but not necessarily the manpower.
It's like, I mean, we recorded yesterday with Owen O'Brien on the Mica redress scheme, and one of the things that continues to be clear on that, it's not to go specifically on Mica thing, it's the level of inspections maintained is still too low. It doesn't put any protections there for if you are a quarry producing defective blocks, you're not really, you're very unlikely to get the correct scrutiny and the correct regulation. It is very much something that we unfortunately repeat a lot in this country. I'd be very interested to see, because it's been reported both to the Gardaí and the PSNI. Obviously, they've both won't comment on this, but I will wonder very closely if something will come of that.
No, I will tell you. Actually, so the guards, they told us they wouldn't be able to provide information. The PSNI have told us that they determined that, you know, with the Department of Finance, that it wasn't an issue for them to examine in any more detail. into it, but we do know, like I said, the wider DERA investigation is ongoing. So if they look further, I can't speculate if they would, you know, be re-engaged in the process. But from their perspective, it wasn't, you know, they determined after that examination with the Department of Finance, there wasn't more that they would be involved, and it was passed back in terms of the wider investigation to be continued by DERA, the Department of Infrastructure, and the planning authorities. But the planning authorities, two of them have told us there's several active enforcement cases. Others have told us there's investigations ongoing that may potentially lead to legal matters. So, you know, there's various councils now that are examining this in detail. So it's still ongoing. So we'll keep an eye to see what pans out with the investigation.
Niall, thanks for that. Just one other thing. Let's go back to it again. What are you working on, and what can people help? Where can they help you?
Yeah, we're working on a few at the moment. I'm working on one around the live export trade of animals from Ireland to Europe and North Africa and the Middle East. So working on that at the moment, should be published by the end of the summer. We have another ones about biodiversity going on. We have one about spraying of pesticides on public spaces. So that's another one that's been worked on by Anthony Alassia, another journalist with us, fantastic journalist, who's done some great report, nature, environmental, biodiversity reporting for us. And yeah, you can find us noteworthy.ie. You can fund individual proposals, which is great if you have a big interest in one. If you're not, if you want to fund our general fund as well, which helps us with our day-to-day, you can have a one-off contribution, but of course it's even better if you want to do the monthly contribution that will help us going into the long term. And as you mentioned at the start, I'd like to, you know, finish by saying congratulations to my colleague Maria Delaney, who's now been appointed as the editor of Noteworthy after, you know, a fantastic tenure from Susan Daly, who you know, has to focus more on her big job at the journal, but she's been doing amazing. I don't know how she managed to also be taking such a keen role in our work, but now it's fantastic that Maria is going to take over that position full time. And we're, you know, through the support of our funders, we're at a space now where we're able to now hire a second reporter to replace Maria, while Maria will also be working on investigations. So we're going to be able to hopefully be doing more in-depth reporting with that, and, you know, more support into the future. We'll hopefully one day soon we can hire another reporter and so on.
So look, folks, you know where it is, noteworthy.ie. Do chip in. It's always in-depth reporting. I mean, someone made the point that we have far too many opinion writers and not enough investigative reporters. This is where that work gets done. And I'd say back it and support it. Niall, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. It's great to see your smiling face again. We may meet in person sometime over the summer. Back later on today, folks, with a member of the UUP. To have a good chat about Pride March for in Belfast. So that should be a bit of fun. Talk to you all soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber Podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.